It's been a great place to be in God's house today, and I trust that you've been blessed. And I was thinking about this. Sometimes we think, well, one service is not going to change my life that much, and it may not, but it might. And you miss so much when we're not here at church, and I'm just so thankful. I'm thinking about the Smiths joining today, and this morning was a wonderful joy. I was thinking about in recent services, of course, we had that garage sale that Kyle was talking about, and then I think last Sunday night, the Norrises, who haven't been here many years, or just God brought them in here just recently, and they joined. They've just a blessing to so many. We had all that kettle corn right after the service, and that helped kickstart some of the fundraising and for the kids, and it's just a wonderful thing. And then I try not to embarrass people. My wife thinks that's not a true statement, that sometimes I do try, but I try not to embarrass people. But I see Katie Barker go back and grab hold of her dad's arm. And then Noah's on the other side, I'm assuming Bailey's somewhere around there. And you have Steve and then Katie and Shannon, of course. And I hear probably Steve thought Shannon was going to mess up their home. And lo and behold, he made a good fit. So, and then a grandson and granddaughter. And just so many things that God has done. It's so wonderful to see people in the choir that have not been members here very long. And then it's good to see people who have been here for decades up in the choir. And so I guess what I'm saying is church is supposed to be this place where we all come together. Whether you've been here for 20 years or 50 years or you just joined today. And whether you're drawing Social Security and a pension from somewhere, or whether you're still hard at it in the workforce, or whether you're a kid and you know it all, you don't even have to work. You just figured it all out before you had to go get a job. So leave home now while you got it all figured out, is what they always say. Church is supposed to be a family. And I thank God for what he's allowing that to become and is. And it's just a wonderful thing. So all that to be said has probably nothing to do with Brother Ouellette's message, but it's just what the Lord was working on my heart about as we were sitting through that song service. And so thank you for being part of it. And you may be saying, well, I don't hold a position. I don't teach. I'm not a bus captain. I'm not a pastoral staff, we all join in this thing. Whether you ever step on the platform, whether you ever do something publicly, we're praying, we're getting in the trenches, and it's just a wonderful thing to see God work in a great way. And it's a good thing to have Dr. R.B. Ouellette. As I mentioned this morning, he pastored the First Baptist Church of Bridgeport, Michigan for 44 years. And then he traveled most every week of his life for the last many years. I've heard him at national platforms. I've heard him at local churches. I've heard him in big conferences. And I've heard him where he just preached to a few. And he preached the same way to a handful as he preached to 3,000. And just always trying to honor the Lord. And so he's always been an encouragement. He's always been a favorite of Amy and I's when we'd hear him at conferences and different meetings. And so it was a real joy to get to have him here today. And so we were blessed this morning to have him preach. And I'm going to ask him to come and preach to us tonight. He's a wonderful man of God, and we're blessed to have him at Buffalo Ridge. Dr. Ouellette, preach to us, please, would you?
Thank you, preacher. Open your Bibles. That's a good thing to do. You ought to do that every day. Open your Bible. I'm going to be in Matthew chapter 2. If you want to be where I am, you can go to Matthew chapter 2. I am so glad you came back at night. Wonderful Sunday night crowd. God bless you for being faithful. Some churches don't have Sunday night service anymore. Now, I've listened to some of those preachers, and if I didn't have any more to say than they do, I wouldn't have church either. My pastor often has, because he's younger, he's maybe 41, and he'll have a younger pastor say, well, we only do one service a week now because we can put so much more into it, make it so much better. And he will say to them, well, why don't you just have one a year? Imagine how good that would be. I'll preach in a couple of weeks, God willing, in Fairfield, Ohio. My friend Dr. Wallace Miller is an engineer by trade, and he and Michael Jones, the Michael Jones were from the same church in Cincinnati. He became a youth pastor, then became full-time. It was a Southern Baptist church, and by conviction, he went out and started an independent Baptist church, great church. They built 3 buildings in the last 8 years, and a real smart man. And Dr. Miller said, I could never support anybody that didn't have Sunday night church. He said, I think of all the sermons I heard on Sunday night and all the lessons that I learned and all the decisions that I made. He said, you mean to tell me my Christian life would be better if I never heard those things? And I commend you for being here. And I'm really glad to be in Tennessee. Yeah, by the mountains, the home, Tennessee, the home of government fighting, bureaucracy hating, gun carrying, hard-nosed, red-necked, hairy-legged women. And the men are pretty tough too. So I had a lady say to me, she said, I saw you on television this morning. I said, I'm so sorry. I have a face made for radio, but I'm glad she tuned in. Matthew chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Thank you, preacher, for the nice room. Thank you for the goodies in the room. Thank you for the good. He asked me what I wanted to eat last night when I got over the airport, and I chose Chick-fil-A. There is no Chick-fil-A where I live. I live in a poor, benighted part of the world. Got to drive about an hour to go to Chick-fil-A, about 40 minutes to an hour to go to Costco. And you pray for us as we minister out in the hinterlands there. Today we went to La Carreta's for Mexican food. Yeah, me gusta mucho la comida de Mexico. Es muy bueno. All right. And I appreciate all your kindnesses. Let me say something now so I can say it later. I'm out of a couple of the books. If you want anything I don't have, you pay the regular price and I'll mail it to you and I'll pay the postage back there. And I do hope you'll get them. I believe they'll be a help to you. I also do not want to carry them on the airplane tomorrow. I'll probably rupture a disc and be crippled and never preach again, and it would be your fault. Matthew chapter 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? Now that's interesting. You can't be born a king. The son of a king is not a king. The son of a king is a prince. But our scripture says Jesus is born the king of the Jews. He's not the son of a king. He's the son of God. He's born king of the Jews, for we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee should come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, and he said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when you found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till they came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they'd opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Lord, I thank you for this wonderful church. I thank you for my privilege to be here this year. I pray that you'd use me to be a help to your people and an honor to your name. Thank you for my friend, Brother Herdman, and his faithful service, and Lord, for guiding him as he shepherded the church through these difficult days and so much difficulty so early in his time here. And I want to be a blessing, but I can no more help these folks than you help me. So please guide me the very best I know. I've come to the place in your word where you wanted us to be. Open our hearts to your truth. Bless the preaching and the invitation. Well, thank you in Jesus' name for what you do. Amen. I know what you're thinking as I read the scripture. You said, Brother Willette, it's only the beginning of October and you're in a Christmas passage. Well, have you been to Walmart lately? Hobby Lobby's had Christmas stuff out since August. That's not an exaggeration. We're going to have a little quiz to start. Now, I didn't tell you in advance, but you're very smart people. You'll be fine. Three questions you have to answer. Everybody's got to answer. You can answer true or false or So question number one, true or false, three wise men came to see the Lord Jesus. If you say true, raise your hand. If you say false, raise your hand. If you say raise your hand. Question number two, the wise men came to visit the baby Jesus in the manger. If you say false, raise your hand. If you say true, raise your hand. If you say, I would rather not raise my hand, raise your hand. Question number three, the wise men were guided by a star from their home to the place where the Lord Jesus was. If you say true, raise your hand. If you say false, raise your hand. If you say I'm starting to get nervous, raise your hand. Well, let's look at the Bible. That's a good place to get answers for our questions. Question number one, true or false, three wise men came to visit the Lord Jesus. The answer is, never says. There came wise men from the east. Now, we've assumed there were three because they had three kinds of gifts, gold, frankincense, myrrh. The truth of the matter is that there were probably a pretty good number because they traveled over dangerous roads infested with robbers, and they wouldn't have gone that long and difficult of a journey without a pretty good entourage, but the Bible doesn't say. Question number two, the wise men came to visit the baby Jesus in the manger. The answer is false. We read the verse. It says they came to the house where the young child was. Oh, no, you say, Brother Willett, I have a nativity set in my attic. I bought it at Walmart. It was made in China. It's covered with lead paint and the Wuhan virus. And there's the wise men and the shepherds and the cattle and the sheep and all those things and the Lord Jesus and Mary and Joseph. Now, I know, but it says they came to the house where the young child was. Question number three. Wise men were guided by a star from their home to the place where the Lord Jesus was. Oh, we know the answer to that because it's in our hymn book. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts. We traverse afar, following yonder. Wait a minute. Did you know there's a lot of stuff in your hymn book that isn't true? Now, I think it's good if our hymns are biblically and theologically correct, but I'm not super picky about it. I had a music director, and he didn't like my songs that I liked, but he would sing songs I didn't think were any better. One time he was singing a song, Footprints of Jesus, that make the pathway glow. I said, what does that mean? Did our Lord wear radioactive sandals? It doesn't mean anything. They just needed a word to rhyme with go. We sing a lot of songs. We sing, when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more. Well, Brother Kyle, you're a recent Bible college graduate. You'd be well attuned to this. When does the trumpet of the Lord sound? At the rapture. And Brother Daniel, when will time be no more? At the end of the millennium, right? That's at least 1,007 years apart. And they just stuck it together. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more. That's not the worst part about that song. I watch too many song videos and they go, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. It makes me nervous. So let's look at the Bible, see if we can figure this out. The Bible says in verse 1, Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, the days of Herod the king. There came wise men. Read me the next three words out loud, please. From the east. There came wise men, what? From the east. Where were they from? The east. They weren't from Memphis. They're from East Tennessee. They're from the east. Saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we, what are the next two words? Have seen. Is that present tense? No. What tense is that? Past tense, or you might call it present perfect, which is a form of the past tense. We have seen his star. What are the next three words? In the east. I'm sorry to make you look at your Bibles. I apologize. We have seen a star in the east. Where were the wise men from? The east. Where does it say they saw the star? In the east. We have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. Look down to verse 9. When they'd heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they, what's the next word? Saw, where? In the east, where are they from? And it says, past tense, they saw the star in the east. The star which they saw in the east went before them, till they came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they said, there it is. We've been following that every day. Is that what it says? When they saw the star, they what? Rejoiced. With exceeding great joy, like, wow, there it is again. If I have not convinced you yet, let me give you one more proof from our text. Where Where was the Lord Jesus born? Bethlehem. Where did the wise men go? There came wise men from the east to, what's it say? Jerusalem. It's about 8 miles from Bethlehem to Jerusalem. If the star was guiding them, it did a lousy job. Would you pay 8 miles the next time? Would you pay $1,000 extra next time you buy a car to get a fancy navigational device guaranteeing you to get within 8 miles of your desired destination? So if I read the scripture correctly, here's what happened. At the beginning of the journey, they saw the star. The wise men were the Medes of the Medo-Persian Empire. We call them three kings in the song, but they were really powers behind the throne. They were king makers than kings. There was a widespread belief, I could read you from historical writings, that there was going to be a very important birth. It was going to take place in the land of Israel. And the wise men saw a star and they said, that's it. They dropped everything they're doing and they went a long journey, many months, maybe as much as a year and a half, maybe 9 months, we don't know for sure. Because they wanted to see this king of the Jews that was born. Now, I can't prove to you what I'm about to suggest. But it might be, and I like to think it was, that there's a reason the wise men knew about this. There was another wise man in Babylon, in the Medo-Persian Empire, sometime before these guys, named Daniel. Daniel knew all about the Messiah that should come, the stone cut out without hands. He knew all about the 70 weeks of years. And I like to think Daniel said to his fellows, hey guys, whenever this happens, you better get over there, drop everything and go see it. It'll be the biggest thing that has ever happened in the history of the world. But whether that's true or not, they went. They saw the star and they said, we're going to go. But somewhere early in the journey, early enough, they would still be considered to be in the east. The star stopped shining. They only saw it in the east. The star which they saw in the east. Hey, what you do when the star stops shining is really important. They could have turned around and gone back home. Well, we must have misread that signal. They could have said, bless God, we come every step of this journey guided by that star. I'm not moving until the star shows up again. You know what they did? They did the best they knew. They were looking for the king of the Jews. The capital of Israel is Jerusalem. If I said you go find President Biden, the first place you'd likely look is 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. He might not be there. He could be on Air Force One traveling to a foreign country. He could be at Camp David. He could be in his basement. But you'd start looking at the White House. They did the best they knew. Remember I said this morning, there's a whole lot of times, if you said to the preacher, what are we going to do about this? And we said what we're thinking, we'd say, So early in the journey, they saw a star, made it very clear what they were supposed to do. Someplace pretty early in the journey, the star stopped shining. And at the very end, the star reappeared and guided them straight to the place where the Lord Jesus was. Did you know that's not unique to the wise men? Hey, David, come inside. Dad wants to see you. All right, what's up? Well, Jesse wants to see you. Your dad wants to see you because Samuel's at our house. Samuel, the man of God, is here? Wow. David walks in. Samuel says, it's him. He pours oil on his head and he says, you're going to be the next king of the nation of Israel. David couldn't have been more than about 15 years old. He was the youngest of 8 sons in the nation of Israel. You went to war when you were 20. He takes food down to his 3 older brothers in the next chapter. So if brother number 4 is 19, and brother number 5 is 18, and brother number 6 is 17, and brother number 7 is 16, David could have been born about 15 years old. What do you do if you're 15 and you get crowned to be the next king? Cool. Yo, dude, you better be good to me. I'm going to be king. When do I get the crown? And then David kills Goliath, and that's good, and he gets popular, and then Saul gets jealous, and he runs away, and David's got a little motley crew. People argue about when the church started. They say it started at Pentecost. No, it started with John the Baptist. No, it started in the upper room. It started with the Lord Jesus. No, it didn't. It started in the Old Testament. Because the Bible says that when out with David, everybody that was in debt and everybody that was discontented and everybody that was in distress, if that's not an independent, fundamental Baptist church, you tell me what it is. David's running away, and you know what he says? He says, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There's nothing better for me but that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. I'm telling you, there was a long time in the life of David the star was not shining. Guys, I had the coolest dream. There's these sheaves out there, like one for each of us, and your sheaves all bow down to my sheaf. Isn't that? You're not very excited. Joseph made the mistake a lot of young Baptist preachers make. He told his brothers his dreams. Joseph winds up, because of their jealousy, being sold to Egypt. He ends up in the house of a man named Potiphar. He works hard. Joseph, every place he is, always honors God, always lifts up the name of the Lord. He rises to the top of the house. The Bible says Potiphar didn't even keep track of anything, did not know anything he had in the house except the bread he ate. Somebody else noticed Joseph, Potiphar's wife. The Bible says Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored. That's not two ways of saying the same thing. Goodly means he had a handsome countenance, and well-favored means he had a good physique. So he would have been a lot like he'd been a lot like Brother Herdman and I think we used to be. And Mrs. Potiphar said, hey, you and me, we ought to get together. And he said, no, ma'am. No, you belong to your husband, not to me. And it'd be wrong. I'd do this. It'd be a great wickedness, and I'd sin against God. But she keeps after him. One day she grabs him. He runs away, leaves his coat in her hand. She's so frustrated that she can't even seduce a slave that she turns the tables and said he was coming after her, and he winds up in jail for doing right. He rises to the top in the jail, whatever's done in the prison. Joseph was the doer of it. He notices that a couple of those fellow prisoners who are under his care have disappointment. He said, this is sadness of heart. Well, they said, we've had dreams, and nobody can tell us what they mean. I'm afraid if I'd been there, I might have said, hey, I do a little dream interpreting. Not Joseph. Always gives the glory to God. It is not in me, he said to Pharaoh. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And he said, do not interpretations to the butler and the baker belong to God. And he said to the butler, 3 days from now, you'll be back serving Pharaoh. And the only time he asks for anything for himself in the whole story, he says, think on me. Remember me when it should be well with thee. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. Long time in the life of Joseph, the star wasn't shining. Probably 13 years, about 13 years in jail. Abraham, I want you to go to a land. I'm not going to tell you where it is yet, but once you're on your way, I'll tell you where to go. And if you'll go there, I'll make of you a great nation. I'll make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, the grains of sand on the seashore. Abraham went. When he got to the land of promise, he had one problem. He did not have any children, no son. Did you know it is hard to be the father of a great nation if you don't have any kids? Did you know that infertility is hereditary? Yeah, if your parents didn't have any children, you probably won't either. Last time God reiterated his promise to Abraham, Sarah's in the tent. She heard it and she laughed. Don't be too hard on her, but she's 90 years old by this time. And the Bible says it ceased to be with her after the manner of women. The Bible says there sprang up one talking of Abraham and him as good as dead. I'm telling you, for a long time, the star was not shining in the life of Abraham. It's that way in other areas of life. You ever have a missionary come in, Brother Herdman, and he'll say, well, we don't know for sure what we're supposed to do, but we like to travel, and we kind of like the food in Spain, and that's a nice country, so we're going to go to Spain. If you give us some money, we'll go there and see what happens. You ever have a missionary say that? No, they say, God has called us to the land of Spain. And they go. And no matter how much they studied, no matter whether they've taken a survey trip or not, when they get there, everything's strange. People dress differently. They speak differently. The architecture is different. The clothing is different. The food is different. The smells are different. They work really hard, but not much happens at all. And they go through a thing called culture shock, and they say, I'm not sure this is going to work. I don't know if I can stay here. I may have to go back home. Young man comes to start a church. He said, God has called me to plant a church in such and such a town. And he goes there, and some other churches help him, and they blanket the area with John Romans. And it's a pretty good first service. You have some relatives and some people from other churches, about 35 or 40. They have a good first day. And the next day they have about 25, and then they have about 20, and then they have 17, and then they have him and his wife and one old lady. And he says, I don't know if this is going to work. Early in the journey, the star stops shining. It's true in your life. You determine that God wants you to teach a Sunday school class. Man, you're all excited and you study and you pray. And after a few weeks, you think, good night, I'm putting myself to sleep. I wonder what those kids are thinking. You decide I'm going to tithe, and you put that first tithe check in and run home to open the mailbox and see the check from Publishers Clearing House Sweepstakes. And after 3 or 4 weeks, you got less money in the bank, no extra money's come in. Happens all the time. You get married. People get married, and they're always sure their marriage is going to be the first perfect marriage. Trouble is, neither of them married a perfect person. And after a while, she finds out his feet smell. He sees what she looks like with no makeup and her hair going every which way. And they find out they each have things that irritate the other person. There's a couple, when I was a youth pastor, worked with us in the youth program. Their first breakfast, the wife was taking sunny side over eggs, and she took a piece of toast and stuck it in the egg and was eating the toast with the egg dripping off of it. And her husband said, do you always do that? First morning of marriage, she said, well, yes, why? He said, please don't do that. You're making me sick. Yeah. Hey, what you do when the star stops shining is really important. Heard about a man sitting by the side of a road. A traveler came along and said, mister, is this the way to such and such a place? The old man answered a little unusually. He said, where are you from? He told him, he said, well, you've come too far to go back. The side road is worse, and this is no place to spend the night. Looks to me like you might as well just go on. Hey, I don't know about you, but I've come too far to go back. The side road is worse. I've seen what happens to people who get off track. This is no place to spend the night. The war of this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. That's why this whole world doesn't feel so much at home for me anymore. I've come too far to go back. Looks to me like we might as well just go on.
Amen.
But wait a minute. There was a time when David was crowned king, first of the two tribes in the south, and of the entire nation of Israel. There was that time when Joseph saw his brothers come. They didn't know who he was, but he knew who they were. And they bowed down, and he remembered his dreams. And there was that time when Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90, and God gave them a child named Isaac. At the end, the star shone brightly, guided him right home. Three thoughts and I'm through. I have a couple mottos as I get older. One is, you either have to have interesting sermons or interesting socks. Socks are easier. The other is, if you can't be good, be short. There are plenty of times I've been neither, and a whole lot of sermons I've heard that were neither. Thought number one. The star does not always shine. It's okay. It's normal. God does it the way in person. Remember, we learned this morning we walk by faith and not by sight. It's okay. Don't think God's failed you. Don't think he's abandoned you. Don't think you've done something wrong. Don't think you've made a mistake. The star doesn't always shine. Statement number two. God requires us to be faithful when the star doesn't shine. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Doesn't matter how dark it is, you stay faithful. Statement number three. The wise men, when they started to go toward Bethlehem, saw the star again, and it took them right to the place where the Lord Jesus was. But they did not start toward Bethlehem because of a star. The Bible says, Herod, verse 7, he privately called the wise men together and inquired. Let me go back a verse. It says, he gathered in verse 4 all the chief priests and scribes of the people together and demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. Hey, once they started out toward Bethlehem, the star came and it took them right to the house where the Lord Jesus was. But they did not start out because of a star. They started out because of a scripture. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. I don't always have a star, but I always have the Word of God. Always know I should be in church because the Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. I know I should tithe because the Word of God says the tithe is the Lord's. I know that I should win people to Christ because the Bible says, preach the gospel to every creature. I know that I should be separate from the world because friendship with the world is enmity with God. I know that a husband should love his wife and a wife should submit to her husband and children should obey their parents, and parents should raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, because it tells me so in the Bible. I don't always have a star, but praise God, I've always got a book. Amen. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We misunderstand that verse. We think about a flashlight that'll shine from here to Johnson City. There wasn't any such thing in Bible times. Bible times, the traveler usually had an oil lamp attached to his ankle because it gave so little light. If he held it at his waist, he wouldn't be able to see the pathway. And when he put it on his ankle, he could see just enough to know where to put his foot for the next step. The steps of a good man are guided by the Lord. Do you know I don't always know what the next 6 months or 6 years or 6 weeks or 6 days is going to hold for me, but I usually have a pretty good idea about my next step. I'm pretty sure sometimes between now and 10 o'clock I'm supposed to stop preaching. Pretty sure I'm supposed to go back and pack up and get on the airplane tomorrow and go to Lancaster and preach there tomorrow. I got a pretty good idea of the next step. The star doesn't always shine. God expects us to be faithful when the star doesn't shine. We don't always have a star, but we always have the Word of God. Danny Aiello was 11 when the automobile accident that took his left arm occurred. He healed physically after a while, but emotionally he was a wreck, down, discouraged, depressed. His parents hit on a rather unusual idea. They enrolled him in judo classes. And Danny liked it. He enjoyed wearing the gi and being out there with the rest of the kids. Now, normally when you take judo, they'll give you some basic throws to start. You learn the ogoshi, the okigoshi, the osotogari. If you do well on those, you can learn the Kawasaki, the Suzuki, and the Yamaha. But the sensei, the teacher, had Danny just learn one throw over and over again. It was different than any of the throws any of the other kids learned. But Danny enjoyed it, and he enjoyed being with the kids, and he worked on it. And after a while, the teacher said, Danny, you're ready to enter a tournament. Danny was amazed. Got the parents' permission. Teacher picked him up. Went to the tournament. Danny won the first round readily. Second round was harder, but he won that. Third round was really hard, but he won that. And now he's in the finals. His opponent is older, stronger, heavier, better experienced. And Danny's having a rough time. The guy's throwing them all around. As a matter of fact, the referees go to the sensei and say, would you like us to call the match? No, the sensei said, Danny'll be fine. And Danny's game, he gets up every time he's thrown. And then finally he sees his opening. He reaches in and executes the only throw he knows. He not only flips his opponent, he pins him to the mat and wins the match. Crowd goes wild. Little one-armed kid wins the judo match. Gets his trophy. They're driving home. It's kind of quiet in the car. And After a while, Danny said, "Sensei, why did I win? I only know one throw and I only have one arm." The teacher said, "Well, Danny, there are two reasons you won. The first one is you have mastered or nearly mastered one of the most difficult throws in judo. The second reason is that the only known defense against it is to grab your opponent by his left arm." Danny didn't know that. He just knew the teacher said, "Learn that throw, learn that throw, learn that throw, learn that throw. If you and I are faithful, even when the star doesn't shine, we're going to get to heaven one day and say, 'I didn't know that.' Lord, you always guide us, but it's not always by a big bright star in the sky. You made that really clear in this story if we just read the Bible. Help us to understand that's normal. Help us to be faithful when the star doesn't shine. Help us to know we don't really need a star, we have a book. And work in our hearts individually. I don't know the burdens and the concerns and the clouds that have come into the lives of all the people here, but you do, and as best I know, you directed me to this portion of your word for this night. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, nobody's looking around. I wonder who's hearing you say, "Brother Ouellette, I appreciate the word of God, and as far as I know, there's nothing that in my life the Lord wants changed or done different, no change of attitude or outlook or behavior because of what I heard. As far as I know, everything's right with me and God and like it ought to be. God didn't deal with me about anything tonight." And I'm sure there are people like that. If you could say that, would you slip your hand up high? God bless you. If you couldn't raise your hand, that means God did do something, doesn't it? And I want to ask you, because God did something, to do something in response. It's good to raise a hand. I'm not going to ask you to do that. It's better to bend the knee. The word humble in the Bible literally means to bend the knee. Every time the Lord Jesus called people, he called them publicly. And while not everybody could kneel at an altar, most anybody could take a seat at the front and talk to the Lord. So if you couldn't raise your hand because the Spirit of God did deal with you and you're willing to respond obediently to him, would you do something different? Would you get out of your seat right now and come find a place at the altar to do business with God? Would you do that? He did speak with you. You do need to be faithful when the star is not shining. God bless you. God, I know it's different, but it'll be all right. I think it's a good thing to develop the habit of immediate obedience to the Spirit of God. I was in a bowling alley with my dad one time and mentioned that we're going to take an offering for an evangelist who worked out of our church. My dad didn't have any money then, but he took his wallet out and dug around and found a $50 bill he'd been hiding in there for emergencies. He said, "Here, give him this." I said, "Oh, Dad, you don't have to do that. We'll take care of him." Dad said, "No." He said, "I learned a long time ago, if I don't obey the impulses of the Holy Spirit immediately, I will talk myself out of them after a while." I'm going to give you just another moment if you need to come. We will stand. We will say you can still come then, but it's good to obey the Lord immediately. Father, continue to work in our hearts. Thank you for these who are here. Have your way in each life. We'll praise you in Jesus' name for what you do. Amen. Would you stand, please? The music plays. The Spirit of God has spoken your heart. You need to do business with him. Come and join these others who are praying. Find a place to do business with God. If you're here tonight not sure of heaven, there are people who love to open the Bible and show you how you can know that heaven is your home forever. If you're saved and haven't obeyed the Lord in baptism, you come on. They'll help you with that. And if you're saved and baptized and God wants you to be part of this church family, you come ahead.
As she continues to play, I know that the Spirit of the Lord has taken that message to our hearts. And you may have needed to come tonight because God just wanted to tell you to keep on keeping on. And I know there's a whole lot of folks in here that you have gone like an airplane pilot going on flying by instrument because you certainly couldn't see where you were going. But you were just going on by faith that the last known directives were what you still need to be following. And you were following those instruments, and He has given us the word for tonight that the instrument is the Word of God. And may you be faithful, may we be faithful to follow the Lord even when we can't follow, see the star in our lives. Lord, we're certainly thankful for what you've done tonight. Thank you for bringing Brother Ouellette our way. Thank you for the great message tonight. And dear Lord, just the reminder to keep on, dear Lord, following your word, following the certainty of it. And thank you, dear Lord, for the message this evening. Thank you for a good man of God that you brought our direction, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to be a blessing to him through a love offering that we've got for him, dear Lord. Thank you for our part. Thank you for his part. And Lord, thank you for his ministry. Lord, thank you for the great day today. Thank you for the wonderful gifts that you've given us. And I pray that you would bless my friends as they go throughout this week. I pray that you'd put your hand upon them, dear Lord, each and every one of them. I pray for Miss Margie Hale over at the hospital tonight. I pray that you would help her. And I pray, dear Lord, for so many others that are needing your touch this evening. And I pray that you would just help the family of Brother Earl Bridgman, dear Lord, bless in that whole proceedings there. Bless Billy Snodgrass over at the hospital. And Lord, we'll pray for Miss Leslie Farmer. And Lord, just help in all that's going on there. Miss Connie Fish and Lord, so many others. We'll thank you for what you do there. But dear Lord, make this message dwell heavy on our heart. And may it remind us again and again to keep on trusting and keep on following your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you. May look this way. And I've got a lot of things I'd like to say. I want to thank the Lord. I was going to have all the deacons stand, but they're probably already standing about this time. But I want to thank the Lord for how he's led us in our auditorium remodel, and so it's easy to get used to whatever you have, you know. And I sat back there by Archie Johnson for the service. I sat over a little bit further back this morning, not quite so far, but I sat back there, and it was such a blessing to hear the sound system. Of course, you hear it every week, I understand, but I don't. I'm usually the one up here flapping my gums, and so, but I got to hear it back there, and just the clarity and the evenness of it, and it's just a blessing to have that. And so I was going to thank the deacons for the leadership there and following on and getting it done, because I it's just a blessing to have people come and be able to hear intelligently what they're saying. And so thank the Lord for what he's done here at our church. Well, it's a blessing to be in church, and I'm going to ask Brother Dan and Brother Daniel and Brother Kyle, all of us, will just head out to the lobby or to the parking lot somewhere there. If you need any of us, we'll be out there. And Brother Ouellette's got a few more books and some things left. If you wanted to get one of them, please do. It'll be a help to him. He won't have to tote them around with him, but it'll also be a blessing to you and to your home, I'm sure. And so we'll thank the Lord for that. Hope you're not in a big hurry. It's only 7:34. Hope you find a few folks that you haven't talked to yet, and greet them on your way out. And I don't know if you have a wild hair. He already said that the ones, what did he say a Baptist church was? The people that are fighting, don't have any money and all that. Well, whatever money you do have, go somewhere to eat with somebody, I suppose. But God bless you. Thank you for being in church. You're dismissed.